Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. I go, you know, I'm trying to stay away from sugars, but just one Snickers won't be bad. And so I go over there and I go, oh, they got some new candies now. I didn't try that one, and this one's got nuts. It's good for you. And so now I've gone in because of a desire, even the line was no, but my heart said, let me check it out. Maybe, just maybe, and that's all. Just maybe, yes to this one.
Have you ever set out to make a big change? Maybe like a New Year's resolution? You set a goal and you start working towards it, like maybe a diet, some exercise, or maybe just some good old self-control. How does it work out for you? Maybe good at first, but then something happens and you get derailed, or maybe you just slowly drift away from your plan over time. In today's message, Pastor Troy helps us to understand why it's so easy for us to find ourselves off track and off focus. Now, here's Pastor Troy in James chapter 1 as he continues his message, Why Some Just Won't Believe.
From a young age, we hear things and it does damage. And we can become irrational, not thinking clearly, standing on ground that is not truth, but based upon our own experiences or feelings, our own biases, things we want. We want to believe this. We want that to be true. And then we become irrational and we cannot hear. Well, the Pharisees actually had no interest in what was true. They were looking for anything that would make them right or prove them right. The only way to help someone who's irrational is just to keep pointing them to truth. Leave it in God's hands. Look what they say when the man who was healed, after he speaks the truth. He said, the truth is that no one could do this if God is with him. So he gave a truth, right? Look, he did this. No one can do this unless God's with him, but they're still going, I'm going to have to check the books. I'm going to have to check the books. We got to see the books. They're not listening. They're trying to point to anything that will be an excuse. Verse 34 says this. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sin. And are you teaching us? And they cast him out. That was the end of the argument. They gave him truth, or he gave them truth. Hey, look, here's the bottom line. The guy's got to be from the Lord. No one can do this. It's never been done. And it was well put for a blind man who's been a beggar his whole life, not trained as a teacher. And that offended them, because he got them. And so instead, get out. You're just a sinner. Get out. We're the trained ones. It's kind of what they're saying. We handle the scriptures. So another reason that some just won't believe is that people can be inflexible. They're not going to bend. They're not going to change. They got all the excuses. They got all the arguments. They keep pushing the lines or pushing things down the hill as far as the decision is concerned. But they're just not going to do anything. They're inflexible. When someone is inflexible, it doesn't matter what you say, what proof is presented. They won't move. They won't listen. In fact, I don't know that they can. They've taken such a loud position where they're at, they can't hear truth when it comes in. They're only listening for what will give them some reason not to believe or to doubt or to poke holes. It really boils down to a matter of the will. It really does. They're not willing to hear. It's not that they can't. They won't. No one will go to hell because they were duped by ceremony. The incense, I loved it so much. Oh, how could you send me to hell for loving that stuff? I just loved it, and it misled me. Or, no one will go to hell because they were so cautiously skeptical. Lord, there were some things, I had people take advantage of me, and it was hard. And my father, they told me about a father, it was hard for me to rationalize all of this, so it was very hard. God's able to deal with that person too. Or letting their emotions get the best of them so that they're completely irrational. No one will go to hell because that was their case, that was their scenario. People go to hell because they're not willing to believe the truth. It's that straight up. Here's the truth of God's word. You're out of alignment, not it. And people will not go. Then I must reevaluate here. It's like the Pharisees, what they do is, no, I'm holding on to this. I like what you're saying. It's true, but I cannot let go of this. And therefore, when it comes to truth, if you don't let go of that to embrace truth, you don't have the truth. The truth is not in you, the scripture says. So, because they are not willing to believe the truth, what they do is people, because of their will, they allow religion or emotions or poor reasoning to take them where they really want to go. You see, we end up lost or not believing or in a place where we can make an excuse for ourselves because we want to be there. It's like, you know, what draws a child to someone? Remember, don't take candy from a stranger. You know, hey, here's some candy. What draws the child? I want the candy. So there are certain things that draw us. A woman decides, I need love and affection, and I need a group that loves me. And so she gets involved with this Bible study of this group. And man, they are awesome, over the top. Man, this man is so charismatic. He's awesome. Well, what she doesn't realize in 4 years is she's going to be his fifth wife. The other four are still his wives. And she's in some cult now because she got what she wanted. This is what I'm longing for. This is what I'm looking for. Well, I didn't expect all of this. I didn't want all of this stuff. But I chased what I wanted, and it got me off course. Let me give you another scenario. There's a party. And a woman goes to a party. As a Christian, she's got the conviction of the Lord not to go to the party. But she goes to the party, and something happens to her. She gets taken advantage of, maybe raped. Now, I'm not saying it's her fault. Please understand that clearly. It's the actions of those who did that. They shouldn't do that. They shouldn't have done that. That's sin and is condemnable. However, she didn't have to be in that situation either. See, God will speak to our hearts and keep us out of scenarios where we end up in trouble. So, you don't blame her, but there's some decision-making on her side that has to be considered too. Don't put yourself in the situation. Those who violate, the full extent of the law. She was there, but that gives them no right to do anything, even if alcohol is involved. But as far as she is concerned, what was she doing there? There was something she wanted. There's a guy she liked. Maybe it was to go have fun. Maybe it was to hang with the popular people. You know, that's where the popular people are going to be. I'm going to go over there and put myself in that situation so I can be in that environment. But what they didn't expect, maybe didn't even want, was what would happen after that. This is what God is trying to teach us to stay away from. He's calling to us, saying, follow me, focus on me. These things are not good. They're a distraction. Stay away from that. You don't need those things. You focus on me. And he's drawing us to himself. But we get drawn off course. And one day, if we don't stand in the presence of God, saved by his grace, believing in him, we can't blame religion or any event that happened. We will stand before him because we were not willing to believe. Parents will go away and I want to go. We're going to go out. And so they leave their kids with someone. Well, that doesn't happen in our family, or they're our friends, or, you know, whatever it might be. The stories are all over the place, and is what happens. But they leave them, and then something happens to their child they didn't want. Why? Well, we wanted to do this. Was it worth that? Was that worth it? So the Lord is teaching us, hey, you know what? You prioritize the right things. Do the right things. If you live for you, sin and death are going to reign. Bad things are going to come. Bad things are going to happen. You didn't want them to. You don't mean for them to, but they're going to happen. Listen to what James said. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. I go, you know, I'm trying to stay away from sugars, but just one Snickers won't be bad. And so I go over there and I go, oh, they got some new candies now. I didn't try that one. And this one's got nuts. It's good for you. And so now I've gone in because of a desire. Even the line was no. But my heart said, let me check it out. Maybe. Just maybe, and that's all. Just maybe. Well, yes to this one and that one. But sometimes it's not, you know, you. It's someone else who does the harm. You put yourself in the situation, but someone else does the harm. God knew it was there. We can never avoid all harm. You can drive perfectly home and still get hit by a drunk driver. You know, we're in a fallen world. But God is trying to keep us on top of things, safe from things we can keep ourselves safe from. So we need to learn to listen. Let me ask you a question. What do you really want? Didn't we say we follow what we want? What do you really want? Do you want to know the truth? One of the things I think the enemy has done so well is inundate us with the Bible. Here's what I mean. You think, no, that can't be a bad thing, getting the Bible in. I think anything good, when it becomes just rote routine, church is supposed to be come sit, hear from the Lord, but it can be just the thing we do. Critique the sermon, go out. Did you see that person looking at me? And that's church. You did it. You talk to someone and you sound all churchy. Yeah, I go to church all the time over there. That way. But it's not just doing those things. It's having your heart completely engaged. We do more than we actually can do. We're very busy. And so when I say that the enemy has inundated us with the Bible, is we get the Word of God so much in this country, we don't listen anymore. We don't listen. We're not excited.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the Solid
Rock. Worship services can be Christ my King. What a beautiful name it is. I hate singing that. What is this song anyway? Beautiful name it is. I don't say beautiful name. And then we're not worshiping the Lord because, oh, it's just so, man, we get it all the time. I got it on. I'll go listen to my favorite song on the radio. Or my favorite pastor on the radio. Listen to a sermon on the way here. Listen to you. It was interesting, but this other guy said it better. You get in the car and you listen to another sermon. Sermon, 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 sermon. We're hearing and not perceiving. I'm going to this study and I got this study. We 3, 4, 5 studies a week. Where's the time to work? Where's the time to do what the Bible says? We should spend more time doing what the Bible says than studying what it says. There's enough. We can only do so much. We only have so much time. And the enemy knows how to distract. An unbeliever who doesn't believe because they genuinely don't know or because they genuinely need help seeing things more clearly, that person will be flexible. They'll listen, but it's going to be hard you know, I just need help. I'm a little scared, whatever it might be. But there are those who just remain inflexible. They don't want what you've got. They don't want Jesus. They don't want to change things. They don't want to pick up their cross, deny themselves. They don't want to follow him. Hey, I like him. He's a fan. Love him. But I don't want to follow him. There was a pastor who was sharing with an agnostic. Finally, after sharing and sensing this seems to be going really nowhere. He seems interested, but it's going nowhere. He finally said, look, if I could give you proof, solid proof that the Bible is true and that Jesus is the only means of salvation, he died for the reason he said he died for, and that you have to put your trust in him and follow him to be saved, go to heaven, would you believe? Would you follow him? And he said, you know what? No, I wouldn't, because I don't want what that has to offer. Say, okay, well, that's honest. You're inflexible. I'll stop witnessing to you. When people are inflexible, unwilling to listen, you just stay away. Stop trying to force information in. Let God do the work if he's going to do something. These are those, I think, that Jesus spoke about when he said, don't cast your pearls before swine. They're not willing. It's not a matter of they can't. They can. They're just not willing. The scripture says in Romans, the heavens declare the glory of God. Order in the universe declares that there is a designer, a creator. It all declares, it all points to. He said, if that's not enough to at least interest someone and they say, forget it, I don't care, I'm not going to see it, then you got nothing else to say to them. As believers, we have a mission. Let's not forget about that mission as we go to church and study the scriptures. We've got a very important mission that God called us to, and that is to share the gospel with the world, to be the light of the world, to live the way God said we ought to live. So people look at us and go, how can you live that way? Why would you live that way? The world's doing this. The world's doing that. How can you stand this way? We're not called to debate or argue people into heaven. In case you're one of those who love to argue, that's not a gift from the Lord. We're not called to do that. We are called to be salt and light. We're called to season. That's different. That's pretty good. I never saw a life lived that way. Create a thirst is what salt does. And to be light. How do I walk? How do I live? How do we get out of this mess? They look to you to see how they can do that. But once you share the gospel and you are salt and light in life, all you can do is leave the rest to the Lord, right? You can't debate them or argue them into heaven. You know, Jesus is still doing miracles today, changing lives, drawing people to himself and saving souls, transforming lives. So focus on those who want to grow, those who will listen. Focus on them. It's only two people. Eh? Good. Because that'll be a lot less frustrating than the 12 other people that would make it look better, but are just kind of sitting there. Can we go now? Okay. We got to sing another song. The two. Just minister to those who are there and who care. And enjoy all that God is doing in your life. The healing that he's doing in your home. Maybe in your heart. Enjoy the growth that's taking place in your life, in your family. The discipline. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Be glad you have a loving, kind God who does tell you the truth, even if it hurts. And yet helps you walk in truth. Because all he's doing is preparing you for heaven. And isn't that where we ought to want to be? So why some just won't believe is ceremony, tradition, those kind of things. Just keep pointing them to the Bible. It's about all you can do. Otherwise, you're going to seem like a bad guy. You know, squash and, oh, I love incense. Incense is from the devil. It goes in your nose. Dope goes in your nose. It's not the, or somebody, I remember somebody was at a house one time. And so they're walking on their way out, having spent a nice time in fellowship. I was there. There was a group of us. And he was on his way out. He walked by and he saw that they had, I guess it was cable. He goes, that's a direct line to Satan. Like, thanks. See you next week. Thank you. That could have gone without the comment, that particular comment. So ceremony, tradition, you just point them to the Bible. Let the Bible do it. It's alive. It'll do a work. Some are skeptical. So just be a light. It'll take a little time. Show them it's consistent. It's true. What's happened in your life isn't just some flash. It's there for the long haul, even through the trials. Some are rational. For them, just help them to see truth. Help them to see what's true. I don't remember if I mentioned this or not, but when someone is going through a panic attack, they're very real. The emotions are felt. Nothing's wrong with them, but there's just a panic attack that happens, and it's a very real feeling. They say one of the things you can say, don't explain to them anything. They're not ready. They're not rational. They're going through a panic attack. But he says, one of the things that you say to them is just tell them, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. That's a truth that they need to hear so they can get through it. So for some, all you need to do is tell them the truth. God is in control. Hey, this is what's happening in Israel, and this is what, it's going to be okay. And you give them truth. And then some are inflexible, but that doesn't mean just forget about them. You know what you do for them? You probably do. Pray. You pray for them. Don't waste your time or energy trying to argue them into heaven. Arguing doesn't get anyone into heaven. Just pray. In fact, let's pray now and see what the Lord may do in our hearts as we go forward. Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for this blind man, Lord, who was there to minister to us even today, that the works of God may be seen in him. And I thank you, Lord, because there are some who are spiritually blind. We'll talk about this, Lord. Even more, because your word says so much about it. But I pray that we are able to have our eyes opened and to see clearly, that we are willing to listen to truth when we hear it, that we get rid of our biases, or at least understand that they're there, and they alter what we think, what we listen to, what we hear, how we interpret our biases, our emotions, our own past experiences, and help us to hear the truth for what it is. And help us to be those who walk by faith. Today, if you've never received Jesus Christ, you've never believed, you've never received Jesus Christ, so you have a personal relationship with him, today you can be set free. You can have your eyes open to see clearly and walk in his ways. You will be transformed like my dad was. Some won't believe it at first. That's okay, because it doesn't matter. You're going to heaven now. And eventually, over time, they will see. So if you've never had an experience with the risen Lord, where you've asked him to be your Lord and your Savior, today, you can be born again, made brand new. He's the one who stands and knocks, wanting you to give him approval to be your Lord. One day, we're all going to bow anyway before him. But you can let him rule and reign today in your life and then find yourself on his side when it comes to that day. And if it's in your heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, just pray in your heart they would come inside and they would begin to lead you. For those who've been, maybe you've been backslidden, maybe you've not been walking with the Lord, and today you want to get recentered again, your line has been moving. Let's let God kind of shake it up. Like the old Etch-a-Sketch, if you remember what that is. Zero it out. Recalibrate it. And let him start leading your life again. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He'll receive you the way that you are, though you may have made a mess. And you can walk forward without guilt today.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles, because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in.